Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The 104th PGA Championship today, 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific from Southern Hills. Our first round coverage begins at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN+. Tigers paired with Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy teeing off at 9:11 a.m. Eastern. And Joe Buck and Michael Collins, by the way, are going to provide an alternate telecast on ESPN from 1 to 2 Eastern, then continuing on 2 to 5 Eastern on ESPN2. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, check this out, guys. So, you know, we see fans catching things all the time. I mean, they catch baseballs perfectly. But watch this. Amari, watch this. Catches the ball with his cowboy hat.
There you go.
What do you make of that?
Hey, you know, at the right timing, man, you got to make sure you're able to catch the ball when you can, because it's a memorabilia, you know what I'm saying? So you want to take advantage of catching that.
Get it any way you can. Look at the lady behind him, by the way. She's like, whoa. A couple inches over, that might have hit her. Thank goodness for him. All right, welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport, and we're brought to you by Chase. Thank you so much for being with us today. We got Amari Stoudemire here with us.
Yes, sir.
Vince Carter, Monica McNutt, Brian Windhorst is coming by, all talking basketball. But we will start you off with the game of the night. Warriors, Mavericks, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1. Why are they dancing? They're 6-0 at home this postseason, and they like to dance. And Luka likes to smirk, and he gets his game face on. Andrew Wiggins D'ing him up, and watch this. Getting real close, swiping at the ball, scratching his face. Battle scars already. Wiggins making his mark on Luka's face. First, final seconds of the first. Reggie Bullock hounded in the corner. Draymond swatting it away. Look at that block. Boom. Perfect timing. Dallas shot 3 of 19 from 3 in the first quarter. Warriors up by 10 after the first. Second quarter, Mavs down 8. Doncic floater short. Warriors push it ahead the other way. Klay finds Steph, who finds the bottom of the net. Warriors up 54-45 at the break. Start of the third, Warriors ramping up the D. Doncic looking, spinning, moving, not seeing Curry, who then gets it back, slows it down, takes a step forward, steps back. 3, good. Just makes it look easy, but he's so good, isn't he? Warriors, Golden State up 12. Next Mavs possession, Doncic stripped again, this time by Draymond, who pushes it ahead to Klay. So many weapons on this team. The easy lay-in, turning defense into offense. And then we talk weapons behind over-the-head pass. Green back to Curry, beyond the arc, good. High step, celebrating. Warriors up 17. Just over 2 minutes to play in the third. They're up 19. Curry going to drive inside, go back, step back, off balance. I could do anything. Let all players with 21 points, 12 rebounds. Luka just shaking his head as the Warriors win big. Here's Kerr after the game.
We did an excellent job defensively, but we're under no illusion that we've figured anything out. We just played really hard and competed and tried to contest shots.
They were doing a great job on me, especially in the second half. But I think I got to be better. That's not me. And as a leader, you know, I gotta be better for the whole group. So that's on me.
Yeah, Luka wasn't at his best on either end of the floor last night. He scored 20 points on 6 of 18 shooting on offense. On defense, the Warriors scored 24 points on 10 of 17 shooting when Doncic was the primary defender. Now, Luka was also double-teamed 7 times, and the Mavericks were 1 of 5 with 4 points and a turnover on those plays. So let's bring everybody in. Amari Stoudemire, Vince Carter, Monica McNutt all joining us. Vince, you've got some tape to show us on what the Warriors did to Doncic in Game 1.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Absolutely. And what they did is it just stepped up their pressure. They just made it tough for them. And, you know, they figured out, guys, there's not body movement. You see here, everybody's eyes on Luka there. Gets in the paint. Nobody's moving. There's your strip. Nobody's in his passing window. And, you know, here again, double team. Guys are up. You see right there. Eyes are everywhere. They're able to get off of their defender because there's nobody moving. There's nobody in his window, and they're not making shots. Now, here's an opportunity for Luka to get off a quick pass to Dinwiddie, but now Golden State has figured out he's getting in the paint. They're not making shots. Our high hands and our defensive pressure has bothered him, and they continue to do that in the third quarter, which got them going. And once Klay got going and once Steph got going, it made things tougher for them because not only were they defending, they started to hit shots as well.
And then it just felt like it was just raining down shots on the Mavericks, and they couldn't do anything at that point. Yeah. It was just so tough for them at that point. So, Amari, being a superstar in the NBA, you got Doncic here. He's just basically been imposing his will on these playoffs. But what did you see from him last night in terms of how he was getting stifled?
Well, you know what? it's always tough in the game one of a playoff series. You know, because, you know, you never know how teams are going to play you. You get surprised by double teams. And the Great Golden point. State Warriors obviously are a well-balanced team, and they know what their personnel is. And so in game one, as a cornerstone player, you're always going to have a bit of a dilemma because you're not sure the scouting reporter is going to be against you. And I think what Luka's going to do now is look at the film, kind of adjust his game a little bit, be a little bit more aggressive, and also be aware of where the defense is coming from, where the help is coming from, and find open guys to create better offensive flow.
Okay, so you think he'll adjust?
Great point. Absolutely.
Okay, he's going to adjust. Monica, what was your biggest takeaway from the Warriors' win last night?
The Warriors are well rested and they are ready to rock and roll. I thought the ball movement was fantastic on their end. And of course, their defensive ability to lock in on Luka. Wiggins himself did a great job of keeping him in front. It reminded me of drills in college where you basically just literally had to keep somebody in front. And then, of course, he had tremendous support by his teammates because the supporting cast around Luka wasn't hitting shots at a high clip. It's interesting because on that tape you just showed, Vince, you can see Dwight Powell setting a screen for Jalen Brunson, but Luka doesn't even get a chance to see him because the Warriors are collapsing that tightly in terms of making his lines of sight difficult.
So, Monica, do you think the Warriors have figured him out? I mean, I know we talk about adjustments that they'll make, and Jay Kidd is a genius. He has been in these playoffs. But have they kind of figured him out, or do you expect him to punch back?
I don't know that I would go there, Ryan. Slow your roll just a little bit. I mean, we're talking about a guy that casually puts up 40 points, you know what I'm saying, like in his sleep. I think this was the rested team that executed their game plan perfectly. Luka obviously is coming off of a 7-game series that required a lot from him. I think they have – Wiggins is stepping up. And, like, will we see Wiggins continue to keep up this caliber of defense versus Luka? We'll see. But I don't think Luka goes 6 of 18 and only has 20 points in game two.
Yeah, could you imagine if that
happened? And one more thing, if I may
go
add.
Go ahead, Vince.
I think Amari said it best. This is like a first round of a title fight. That first round is kind of like, let's figure out what they're doing. How are they playing? How is he – you know, how are they guarding the pick and roll? You know, coaches typically in the first play of the game, they want to throw the pick and roll to see how they're playing the pick and roll. Get a post up to see how they're playing their star players in post up in situations. Are they going to double? Are they late contest? All of these things. And I think now, you know, game one for that superstar, meaning Luka, he gets the opportunity to go look at the film and see this is how they're playing this action. This is how they're playing me when I'm on this side of the floor. Because when he was on one side of the floor, they kept him on that side of the floor because it was a crowded side. And that's the things that he will see in film that he can adjust to. And now he will say, hey, the top guy, the next man over, I need you to scoot into my vision to make that pass so we can get a swing for a three-point opportunity on the backside. Things like that he will now see.
Okay, absolutely. So we expect him to adjust. We expect to see a very different Luka in game two. Can't wait to see that. This is going to be a great series. I would never count these Mavericks out. All right, guys, thanks so much. I want to turn now to the PGA Championship. Tiger Woods is moments away from teeing off at round one of golf's second major of the year. The PGA Championship will be Tiger's second event since being seriously injured in a car accident last year. His first, of course, that stunning return at Augusta. Matt Barry picks up our live coverage from Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Good morning, Matt.
Hello, Ryan Smith. Good morning. We are here at Southern Hills Country Club, Tulsa, Oklahoma. You see, Tiger Woods just finished moments ago in his final last-minute preparation. Went over to the tee, hit some practice shots, went over to the green. He makes the walk beyond the bridge, gets onto a cart, goes over to where the first tee box is here at Southern Hills. It's a bit of a drive, but Tiger joins me, Rory McIlroy, ready to get this thing started, first round of the PGA Championship. With that, welcome in two-time U.S. Open champ Andy North. I am Matt Barry. We have finally made it here to Thursday at the PGA Championship. Andy, 9:11 a.m. Eastern is when that power group goes off. Let's focus on Tiger Woods. We've been here throughout the week. What are your expectations for him?
Well, I think first of all, Matt, he looks so much healthier than we saw at the Masters. He looks stronger. He said he's really worked hard in the gym. He's done so many things physical that I think it's going to help him free up his golf game. I think so he can focus on what he wants to do on the golf course, executing shots instead of worrying about how am I going to get around.
Going into the Masters, we had talked about it numerous times. It was a game time decision, a game time. That wasn't the case this week. No. He came in here with the intention to play. He arrived Sunday afternoon, played nine holes that day. And I think one of the things that we've all noticed throughout the week, Andy, is that he does look healthier walking as you see that group, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and Tiger Woods make their way to the first tee box.
Yeah, it's a totally different gait than we saw. This is not a flat, easy golf course to walk, and there's some very steep uphills he has to go on, and he's been able to manage that much, much easier than he did 5 weeks ago.
Some notes on Tiger Woods, 4 Wanamaker trophies for him. This would be his 5th should he provide a miracle that we didn't expect to see coming this week. Remember, last time it was held here at Southern Hills, 2007. Tiger did win that PGA Championship.
But it's a completely different golf course. I mean, anything that you saw that happened in 2007, throw it out the window. Gil Hanse and his team did an amazing job of renovating this golf course, taking a lot of trees out. Still, there's a ton of them, and it's much wider. There's more room for the players to play. The fairways are averaging probably close to 40 yards now, where they're closer to 27 yards back in 07. So it's a different type of golf course.
You see Rory McIlroy there along with him, a 2-time winner, 2012. He did so again in 2014. Okay. Incidentally, that's the last major championship McIlroy won, 2014 PGA. And of course, Jordan Spieth, the final in this grouping, who could win, by the way, Andy. He takes home the Wanamaker Trophy, just the 6th man in golf history to win a career Grand Slam.
And we saw him miss the cut at the Masters, but since the Masters, he won at Heritage and finished 2nd last week. He's playing really, really well, striking the ball as well as I think we've seen him.
Tiger, when's the last time you saw him at a first tee box of a major championship, smiling ear to ear? It's been a completely different countenance from him since he arrived on campus to get ready for his tee shot here at the 104th PGA Championship. Jordan Spieth had a remarkable run at the Byron Nelson last week. You'd mentioned he started to find his game a little bit. He's a player that a lot of people have picked to win this thing.
Absolutely. And these guys are starting on the 10th hole today. It's a fairly short par 4. And then the 11th is a par 3 that's 165 yards. So maybe a possibility of a birdie early.
So here we go. Tiger, Rory McIlroy. We begin with Jordan Spieth.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 104th PGA Championship. This is the 8:11 starting time. Please welcome to the tee, from Texas, Jordan Spieth. The 2012 and 2014 PGA champion, Rory McIlroy. Excellent. And now on the tee, the 1999, 2000, 2006, 2007 PGA champion from Florida, Tiger Woods.
They go. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth. He's going to have to use that. There's some of the toughest walks on the course there, Andy. 1 and 10. You would know they start off the 10th tee. We've seen him use the clubs before as a brace going downhill, but we've got a club twirl off the first tee shot.
Well, three beautiful tee shots all in the fairway. Now they'll be left with a wedge 9-iron into this 10th green. So maybe get off a good birdie start and get something going positive early.
For those tuning in, they did start on the back nine split tees today. From an advantage perspective, the course is gettable right now. There was rain overnight. You can watch the feature groups on ESPN+. Plus. Any difference between the front nine and the back nine maybe for this group to start off on the 10th?
I think the starting on 10 is a little bit easier. The fact that it's the fairly large fairway to hit it at 10, you're going to hit a fairway wood or maybe even a long iron off of that tee. Opportunity to make birdie. 11 is a par 3 that early today, usually the wind swirls around. It's 165 yards. It's a birdie hole today right now. So I think they've got two birdie opportunities, the first two holes, then 12 is a good par 4, and then there's a par 5 coming. So I think walking off the 13th green, these guys expect to be at least one under par, maybe two.
Well, keep an eye on Tiger. I wonder what, if anything, he learned from his walk around Augusta National. He is clearly trailing the rest of this group. You see him using the club to his advantage. I wonder, Andy, if this is going to be something we watch with him throughout the week, if he's going to pace himself differently.
Well, I think he learned a lot at Augusta. His team learned how he needs to get him ready differently. So I think that's he learned a lot, and I think he's going to be a much better player this week.
You see that board right there? That's not just for us. That's for you. ESPN Plus, all the golf you could want as we get started at the 104th PGA Championship. For Andy North, I'm Matt Barry. Back to Ryan Smith and Get Up.
Thank you, guys. Well, coming up, Jimmy Butler got buckets in game one. What must the Celtics do to slow him down tonight? And will they have to do it without not one, but two of their most important pieces? And the Warriors locking up Luka. We go back to the Warriors, who showed up big on defense against Doncic. Did last night completely change our experts' perception of this series? That and a lot more coming up on Get Up.
Welcome to the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Heat.
If I'm Jason Tatum, I don't think anybody on the Heat team can defend me.
Tatum, sidestep, three-pointer, puts it in.
What a turnaround here in this third period. This is a Miami Heat avalanche.
I don't care if it's a big stage or who's watching. I know why I do what I do.
Well, looking back at game one, Jimmy Butler did what he did. Miami opened a third quarter on a 22-2 run, finishing with a 39-14 advantage in a third quarter in which Jimmy Butler outscored the Celtics all by himself. Jason Tatum also had six turnovers in the third. So let's bring back Amari, Monica, and Brian Windhorst as well. And Wendy, I start with you. The Celtics, they were without Marcus Smart, now Horford, in game one. What's the status of those two guys heading into game two?
Yeah, so Al Horford is listed as doubtful. There is a path for him to test out of the health and safety protocols, but it's very unlikely based on past history. So not only is he probably not going to play tonight, the real question is whether he can play on Saturday in game three, because unless you test out or have enough a low enough viral load that you're no longer deemed contagious, it's usually at least a minimum of 5 days to clear the health and safety protocols. So they have to face the reality that they may not have Al Horford as late as game four. The news is much better on Marcus Smart. He has been upgraded to probable with a foot sprain. I expect him to play tonight. There is some question about how effective he will be able to be on that foot. I expect the Heat to definitely test him early in the game, especially because moving side to side is going to be very important. That's a core part of Marcus Smart's game. But to be honest with you, they miss Marcus Smart more than they did Al Horford in game one when the Heat just totally attacked his replacement, Peyton Pritchard, on defense.
Yeah, that's key. That was a big move, especially Jimmy Butler did a lot of the attacking. Amari, what do you make of this news? Horford out, Smart possibly playing, but maybe not the full Defensive Player of the Year we've gotten to know.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, when you're in the health and safety protocol dealing with COVID, you know, your lungs and your wind is not quite working properly, right? So it'd be difficult for Al Horford to get himself in top shape, you know, with speed, you know what I'm saying? So it's difficult for the Celtics with that in that case. And also having a foot injury for Marcus Smart, that's not an easy deal. You know what I'm saying? Because you're running, you're sprinting, you're cutting. You got to try to get new orthotics, which takes time to break in. So it's a bit of a dilemma for the Celtics. But I do think if they can somewhat rally together and those guys can be leaders even off the court for game two, it will help the morale of the team.
I think this is potentially huge news. They are so essential to what the Celtics do. So, Monica, Jason Tatum, he needs a lot of help. And he had a tough time last time. You have some tape on what the Celtics can do to help Tatum tonight.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with Jason's ability to be an elite shot maker, but the Celtics can help him out by doing some things in space. So when we look at this tape, this was in the first half, guys, and he's going to attack Bam Adebayo here. Martin helps but can't really help because Jaylen Brown can hit that three. You got to stay honest. And then there's Grant Williams in the corner, and so this secondary help person can't dig too deep. That's Gabe Vincent. Jason's able to be aggressive. This is an elite shot high off the glass, a beautiful bank shot there. Here, you're going to get the screen. Actually, he comes off two. Robert Williams doesn't set this screen diligently enough to make good contact with PJ Tucker. Gabe Vincent in the corner. Again, Bam Adebayo now contesting. You got Grant Williams in the corner, but Jason doesn't even look. Great contest by Bam, and because PJ didn't get hit by that screen, he's able to adjust and deflect the pass that was intended to go to Robert Williams. And so when you look at the team, it's got to be attention to every detail. Screens got to be solid. You have to help Jason create some space. And then you just have to be able to knock down shots. Coming into this game, the Celtics have been blistering from behind the three-point line. They've got to find some of that to help open up the space. Statistically, Jason only had 7 isolation plays, which is one of his lower numbers throughout the playoffs. And so they've got to help him create some movement so that his shots can just be a little bit easier.
Wendy, real quick, what's your confidence level with the Celtics in game two?
They are used to being down. They were down in the series 3 different times to the Bucks. They are used to dealing with injuries. We had Marcus Smart miss a game in the last round. They are a bounce-back team the whole second half of the season. They lost their last 10 times they've lost, they're 9-1 coming back. So obviously it's a very important game. Obviously they're not 100%, but I would expect the Celtics to be very focused and be a very difficult team to beat tonight.
Absolutely. Wendy, Amari, thank you so much. Monica, thank you. I know you got to leave us, but hopefully we see you again soon. Thanks for pulling double duty with us. Always love to have you. All right, well, coming up, a Warrior waxing Golden State, locking up Luka on D. We'll show you how they shimmied their way to a game one win and what Luka should do for game two. But first, how about a little sneaky hembo time? This one's for Wendy. Which coach has the most career wins in the Western Conference Finals? I feel like that's an easy one, but there's got to be a trick. If there is one, Wendy will figure it out. I have faith. We'll be right back.
Delicious, meet nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're going to take you right to Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma, PGA Championship. Tiger is on the move. He's starting out at 10. This is the first hole today. He's starting on the 10th. And watch the approach shot here. Beautiful shot. Lands just 4 feet from the hole. You heard Andy North earlier on Get Up saying these first two holes are definite birdie opportunities for Tiger. And watch him here. For birdie. 4 feet out. Knocks it in. Tiger starting out nicely with a birdie on his first hole. He's one under. See, John Daly leads it at the moment, but great start for Tiger. So back with a little sneaky hembo time. This is for Wendy. Which coach has the most career wins in the Western Conference Finals?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Greg Popovich has taken the Spurs to the finals 6 times, but then Phil Jackson, I think, took the Lakers to the finals 6 times, and Steve Kerr is going for 6. He's sneaky, but I say Pop has been to more Western Finals, therefore has more wins. Phil second, Steve Kerr third.
Okay, you are incorrect. It's Pat Riley. That was the trick, because I first thought Pat Riley too, Wendy, and then I said it's got to be Pop. I did the same thing.
Did he have 6?
I don't know. He had 29 wins. Unbelievable.
That's a lot.
What a trick. Hembo, this
I'm
one's
sorry.
For you. That's okay. That's okay. Hembo wins sometimes. Don't worry about it. We'll go to the game of the night. Make Wendy feel a little bit better. You can watch Steph dance around. Warriors 6-0 in the postseason this season. And Luka getting ready for game one. Here's Luka. The floater comes up short in the second quarter. But the Warriors push it ahead. Clay to Steph for 3. Like clockwork. Warriors up 54-45 at the break. Third quarter. Warriors clamping down on D. Doncic. Looking, moving, getting stripped by Steph. Now Steph goes the other way, and I love this. Slows it down, speeds it up, slow it down again, back up, step back, yes. That's what I do. Golden State up 12. Next Mavs possession, Doncic stripped again, this time by Draymond, who pushes ahead, finds Klay. Man, these guys work well together. Warriors turning defense into offense. Couple possessions later, Curry over his head to Draymond. Who gets it back to Curry? Who nails the 3 from beyond the arc and dance it up? That's what happens when you're up 17 in game one. 2 minutes to go in the third. Curry off balance. Good. No problem. Led all players with 21 points. Even at 12 rebounds, Warriors win game one, 112-87. So let's talk this over. I mean, Steph was on fire in this one. And it wasn't even about the points, Amari and Vince and Wendy back with us. Vince, it was about Steph just dominating but also working within the framework of the team. Have Steph and the Warriors figured this thing out, and do you see any vulnerabilities in these Warriors right now?
Well, I don't think they figured it out. I think they did what they're supposed to do first and foremost. And Ryan and guys, Amari, I think you know this too. We, playing against the Warriors, we have no-nos and must-haves. No-nos are you never relax because they're going to come off a screen at any time. Just because they're off the ball, that doesn't mean they're out of the play. And then you must communicate when Klay and Steph come together. You must communicate. So yes, I don't think Golden State has to figure it out, but the game plan they had, they stuck to, and their energy and effort, sticking through 4 quarters, was what got them to win. And also add to it, they did what they're supposed to do. They protected home court. Mm. They look like a team that is ready to go and has been here before.
Jump in, go ahead.
Absolutely, Vince make a great point, because that's what you want to do, just protect home court and do what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to win game one in your home court, and that's what Golden State did. And so I do think, Steph is in a zone, right? The offensive flow is great. Everyone knows each other. The chemistry's there. And Vince is spot on with that. They just took care of business. They won game one on the home court.
But winning game one is one thing. Winning by 25 over the Mavericks is another thing. I mean, that was a drubbing. Did you expect that?
I didn't expect that, no. But you have to keep in mind, game one is like it's a toss-up. You never know what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So I think you know, Golden State was prepared. Obviously, they was home in at their own home the other night, last night, and they was able to sleep in their own beds and be with their families and feel comfortable at home. So they have the advantage of that, right? But and plus they had the days of rest in between, so they were fresher than Dallas.
Yeah.
And I think so. That's an advantage that they have on being home, and they took care of business by winning game one.
Wendy, what did you see in Luka in this game, and do you expect him to come back much better as he watches the film and adjusts? Because Luka has been transcendent.
Yeah, without
so
question.
Far.
Luka is a tremendous player, And the situation that the Warriors put the Mavericks in this game, they just really pushed them away from the basket. They took 37 three-pointers in the first half alone, and they weren't good three-pointers. They came off driving, kicking, where you could rotate the ball around to the open man. They were three-pointers of discomfort, and that was a really good game plan that the Mavericks just didn't attack. And so I expect Luka not only to be better, but I expect them to find different ways to go after the Warriors on defense, particularly Jordan Poole. He is awesome on offense, but he remains a guy that you can beat on defense, and Dallas didn't go after him in that regard. And one thing that I think is going to stand out, Hembo gave me this number, Jalen Brunson had more touches in the paint yesterday than Luka did. That cannot continue. Luka has to be the 6'8" guy that he is, use his size and strength to get down into that paint, force the Warriors to adjust, and then run into their offense. I have no doubt that the Mavericks will be better as the series goes on.
Wendy, one more thing on Luka. You've seen it all, I know, in the NBA. You've covered it all. And you talked earlier about how Luka reminds you of another transcendent superstar in this kind of situation. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, you know, watching the game plan the Warriors had last night reminded me so much of 2007. This, I keep getting 2007 flashbacks watching Luka and the Mavericks. That was the first time LeBron made a deep playoff run. He was basically a super elite player carrying his team. And the Spurs just said, look, LeBron, you're not going to be able to get in the paint against us. We're going to make you shoot mid to long range jumpers. That is exactly the game plan that the Warriors had. And like it with the Spurs, it worked in game one. Luka's average shot distance was 2 feet farther than it was the whole rest of the playoffs. Now, you may say 2 feet, that's not enough. That's not that much. But take a step back. It just illustrates how off his comfort level he was. So LeBron was not able to overcome that at that age. Luka is a more developed and rounded and experienced player at this point in his career than when LeBron was making his first deep playoff run. I think Luka will be able to make adjustments that LeBron wasn't able to back when he was so young.
It's amazing to even think about that. As good as LeBron was back then, Luka is better at this stage. It's really interesting to think about that. So, Vince, I ask you, you've been in situations like this in the playoffs. You've seen situations like this. Would you give Dallas a shot to win 4 of 6 from here on out?
Oh, man.
Because that's what they got to do.
Whoa, he just going to throw that one. Yeah, I mean, what about the next game? But I mean, they're definitely capable of winning. And they're capable of winning on the road and winning in San Francisco. So they have a shot. Can they do it is the question. I don't know. Because at the same time, Golden State can win in Dallas. And, you know, they have a formula. They have championship pedigree. They understand how to close games. And you mentioned earlier about they blew them out. Well, that's what a team's supposed to do. You're supposed to stomp on the neck. When you have them beat, blow them out, take their confidence away. And that's what they did in the third quarter, moving on into the fourth quarter. So that's one thing they're trying to continue and carry on. They meaning the Golden State Warriors, to carry on into game two and further on. So look for Golden State to hit first again and to try to take away the confidence of the Golden State Warriors. I slightly answered your question because that's a tough one there. You should give that to Wendy. Sorry, Wendy.
Okay, I will. Wendy, go ahead.
Well, look, the Warriors are the favorite team here, and they have a tremendous series record under Steve Kerr when they win game one because they almost always have had the better team in playoff series. They should win this series. But in my opinion, the Mavericks have the best player. I covered like a dozen series of this with LeBron over the years. He went in with the lesser team, took it on the chin in game one, then pulled up his pants and went to war and fought and took series to game 6 or 7. That's what I expect here. I expect this to be a long series where Luka goes right back at the Warriors and keeps scoring points. I don't know if this team is together enough and developed enough to pull this upset off, but I really do believe they've got the best player. And because of that, they have a chance. And this is why we watch the NBA playoffs every year. Great teams versus transcendent players. This defines the NBA.
I got a real
dominates
question.
Our spring. I'm here
Wait,
for
I don't,
it.
Wait, I want to get to that. We're going to try to get to it if we can a little. Oh, go ahead, Vince. We do have some time. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to ask Wendy and the group in general, if Dallas goes down 0-2, does it still get to 7?
Ooh. Amara, take that.
No, it did I don't last think so. Round. I don't think so. I think if they,
yeah,
if they go down 0-2,
beast.
If they go down 0-2, I don't think they will get to a game 7. Because Golden State can definitely win in Dallas. So it'll be difficult for them to get to a game seven if they go down 0-2.
And Wendy, quick thought, we have a second left.
Guys, keep doubting Luca. See how that works out for you.
We're not doubting.
Perfect ending right there.
Not doubting.
I love it. Thank you so much, you guys. All right, let's go to hockey. The overtime thriller of the night. This one was a great one. Hurricanes hosting the Rangers. Game one, second round of the playoffs. First period, Alexi Lafreniere finds Philippe Hedel. Right here, the one-timer. Good. Second career playoff goal for Hedel. Rangers take a 1-0 lead. Under 7 minutes to go, Rangers need some insurance. Capo Kako getting the puck off the deflection, but no! Misses the wide open net. Missed opportunity for the Rangers. Under 3 minutes to play, the Canes looking for the tying goal. Seth Jarvis, Sebastian Aho. Boom! Goal. Great effort by Aho there. Score tied at one at the end of regulation. It goes to overtime where Carolina's Ian Coe called game. Take a listen.
One-timer by Smith. Blocked out in front by Troop. Has been on a long time. They score! Ian Coe, the veteran defenseman. Carolina wins game one in overtime, 2-1.
Ian Coe getting it done. Rangers fans are going to be seeing that ones in their nightmares for years. Bad start to game one, but we got a series to go. Game two, Eastern and Western Conference semifinals tomorrow night on ESPN and the app. Our coverage of Rangers Hurricanes started 8 Eastern, followed by the battle for Alberta, Oilers versus Flames. Coming up in game one, Jimmy got buckets. While Tatum disappeared in the second half, what needs to change between these two superstars if game two in Boston wants to even up the series?
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Back with you on Get Up, and we're going to take you back to the PGA Championship at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tiger Woods, second hole, hole number 11, par 3. Now watch this. Tee shot right to the center of the green. Tiger looking good early on, but wait, it's a lengthy putt he's got here. Over 30 feet. What can he do with that? Tiger, the putting game, working today. I know it's only the second hole, but still. Getting within a foot of the hole, not bad. He would tap it in for par, one under through two holes. And remember, SportsCenter is going to have live coverage of Tiger's round at the PGA Championship at the top of the hour here on ESPN. So, game one in the books. Jimmy Butler helped the Heat to a series lead with 41 points. It was his third 40-point game this postseason, the most in a single postseason in Heat history. Butler outscored Boston by himself in the third quarter, all by himself. Celtics didn't help the cause by shooting just 13%. Their worst shooting percentage in a quarter in 4 years, regular season and playoffs. And then Tatum, part of the problem. 6 turnovers in the third, most in a period in his career. He finished with 8 points on 1 of 7 shooting after halftime, after that 21-point first half. All right, guys, so let's talk about the superstars a little bit. Vince, I want to first get you on Jason Tatum. What are your expectations for him tonight?
Well, first and foremost, I think he's going to be better. They're going to make adjustments. He's going to make adjustments. We've seen Coach Udoka do a great job in adjusting from game to game and in game. So look for them to make an adjustment. I think one of the great adjustments, the big adjustments that will be made for Tatum is getting him on the move a little bit. Because you saw in the third quarter, you see all bodies. They're playing in passing lanes. But now if he can get the ball with a live dribble, he's able to create and dictate. Because in the first half, he was able to have his way and do his thing when he didn't have the pressure and he was catching the ball on the move with a live dribble. So look for that, you know, early in the game two.
Okay, and let's turn to the other superstar. Wendy, do you think Jimmy Butler is going to have a repeat performance of game one?
Oh, boy. Jimmy Butler has been so good. I'm not doubting him at all. I think one of the things that Jimmy has done so great in this postseason is be a playmaker at both ends of the court. It's one thing to defend your position, which doesn't always happen with the great offensive players in this league, but he was a playmaker in game one, getting steals, getting block shots, igniting offense. The Heat badly need transition offense. They're not a great team in the half court. They're great in transition. Jimmy Butler can be a dominating player without dominating in the half court on offense, and that is why he's so valuable to the Heat. And I don't expect his effort level to change.
Yeah, never count him out, especially when it comes to a 40-point game. And you know what amazes me about him, Brian, talking about how much of a playmaker he was also incredible in the post. He did everything. There was anything. Yeah. He just seemed to get what he wanted. Do you expect that kind of performance going forward?
I do. You know what? You got to take notice to how the veteran guys are the ones that are your cornerstone piece of the team, right? Jimmy Butler's over 32 years old. He's putting up 40 points in the playoffs and in the conference finals. That's not an easy deal, right? So that goes to show you all the work he put in throughout his entire career to get to this point. Mm-hmm. And he plays within his own space. You know, he's not rushed. He gets to his spots, he gets into the post, and he's one of the top two-way players in the game today, and he's proven that in this series.
He sure has. All right, guys, I want to get your game picks. Game two, who do you pick to win it? Vince, let's start with you.
I'm back and forth in this. I think Marcus Smart plays like Wendy is projecting. I think one of the things Wendy said that I agree with is Heat aren't great in half court. You bring Marcus Smart back, regardless of what percentage you have him, he kind of helps get that transition deep or less turnovers and make the Heat play more in half court and give themselves mm-hmm. a chance to win, because they won three of the four quarters, if I'm not mistaken. So they've shown without him, they're very capable. So with him, he just gives them that boost, and he can now put Jason Tatum off the ball.
Are you saying you're picking Boston, or are you trying to say I'm not sure?
I said I'm picking Boston.
Okay, Boston.
But I'm not sure,
away.
But I'm picking Boston.
Okay. And real quick, do you expect Butler to go off, even if Boston wins?
I still think Butler's going to – I mean, this is who Jimmy Butler is. He rises in the moment, and we know playoff Butler is who he is. He's going to do whatever is needed. So if he needs 40, he's going to go for 40.
Okay, Amari, game two, who you got?
I got Boston. And the reason why I'm saying it, because I've seen the Celtics up close and personal this postseason when I was coaching with the Nets. And I saw Jason Tatum, you know, and what he can do. And I think he's one of the most complete players in the playoffs right now. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like Boston going to make the adjustments to somewhat counteract what Miami did to them in game one. And I think Jason Tatum will have a great game in game two.
Okay. Wendy, who you got?
You know, I don't make predictions, Ryan. I'll just give you some data. Celtics have four road wins on the playoffs.
Do it.
They are 9-1 coming off losses. Their last 10 losses are 9-1. Three times in the last series, they fell down. They fell down 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. They always bounce back with a victory. And I will just tell you, being around them, they were not super bothered and worried about their performance the other night. They obviously knew they had to improve, but they are a very confident team. So just know that as you watch this game tonight.
Well played, my friend. Well played. Well, I picked the Celtics.
Well done. And
yeah, very well done. I picked the Celtics, and for me, it's about Marcus Smart. Even if he's restricted and, you know, he's a gamer, he comes and he plays hard. But not only that, he gets to initiate the offense, which is great. Takes Tatum a little bit more off the ball, can do his thing when he needs to. Because I thought that was the problem in the third. Tatum was so dominant in the first half, and then you saw him doing so much initiation in that third quarter, and it was tough. It was tough. You have to play a lot of roles, and Marcus Smart hopefully will help ease that up when he plays tonight, if he plays tonight. All right, so speaking of the Heat and the Celtics, guys, I wanted to show you a little eye candy. Can we just take a look at this? Bam Adebayo at the presser talking, and then he looks over, starts laughing. What's he looking at? He's looking at Tyler Hero, who comes in looking like a Backstreet Boy. Wendy, you're covering these playoffs.
He said a Backstreet
What's up
boy.
With this outfit?
I have some important reporting about that outfit.
Yes.
I am here to report to you that while you couldn't see it on TV, that outfit that Tyler wore was also backless.
What?
And I am also here to report to you that's right. You heard what I said. It was backless. And I also want to point out that Bam Adebayo did not let Tyler Hero get away with showing the guns. He flexed.
Yes.
And Bam was very impressed.
Yeah, he shut
all
that down.
It at that.
It was backless. Can we let that marinate for a second? Have you ever, Vince and Amari, you guys are style mavens.
No,
have you ever worn a backless outfit?
No. I don't think I have. I have never. Not worn a backless outfit. Wow.
I want to be in on the conversation with his stylist. Trust me, Tyler, it's going to look amazing. Everybody's going to be copying you by June.
Hey, Ryan, I want to know what was said when he walked into the locker room at the beginning of the game, when he walked in and they see his back hanging out. Talking about, yeah, bro, what's going on here? I mean, I know you enjoying the sun in Miami, but come on, man, are we tanning our back tonight? What's
going on? Listen, I've seen Amari's Instagram with some of those shots from when he was in Miami. Amari knows how to dress for Miami. So that's.
I definitely had some fashion lows, and if I ever had my back out, that would be one of them.
Oh, man. I would give anything to get a picture of the backless Tyler Hero. Somebody send it to us, please.
I would love to see that.
All right, First Take is over on ESPN2 today, starting at 10 Eastern. Look, they're asking if the Mavs can still make it a series against the Warriors. Join Christine Williamson, Jay Williams, Monica McNutt, 10 a.m. on ESPN2. And Tiger Woods, here he is at the PGA Championship. Looking good, getting closer and closer. I think he's playing his third hole there. Tiger, in rare form, he's one under after two. And we'll keep bringing you highlights from him as we get him. Get up. We'll be right back.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
What a day. We'll have coverage of the PGA Championship all day here on ESPN, starting with SportsCenter in just a moment. After SportsCenter at 1 p.m. Eastern, Joe Buck and Michael Collins take over our coverage. Then at 2 p.m. Eastern, Scott Van Pelt takes over live coverage of the PGA Championship. Great job today by Brian Windhorst, Amari Stoudemire. Vince is staying with us for this. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Braden Schenn. Attacking a camera, blue center, taking out his frustrations on the camera. Vince, you ever do that?
Well, frustration. This is what the playoffs do to you. You know, they bring out the inner beast in you, and inner frustration. You either see a towel, cups, water bottles. So, yes, yeah, something similar, but not quite like this, though.
Really? And what's the worst thing you ever threw?
I mean, water bottles and towels.
There
and cups
you go.
And
First Take
sure.
starts now.